Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you over there?
We are good. We're good. It's 100 degrees right now, you know.
Oh, God.
12 noon in California and hot in Northern California.
As long as you have air conditioning, you have the pool, and then the humidity is not too bad, I guess. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we have the AC, and, you know, the pool thing, you know, usually about 90, 95, but once it gets over 100, it's, like, too hot to even go out by the pool. It's because you're like, okay. So I'm sitting here looking at the pool that I've been working on all
winter. Oh, no, even when you get in, it doesn't feel, like, nice and warm, and I think that would be a heated, nice heated pool is nice.
Yeah, it's just, but then, you know, yeah, it's actually, you can float around in it, and as long as you stay in the water, you're good to go. But, yeah, not complaining. Again, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and excited again about doing radio, and, of course, this show, as we've said before, a featured show on Blog Talk Radio, and I was telling somebody about it the other day, about how, to your point of consistency, you know, and you said it, when we first started, you know, you talked about,
oh, yeah,
you know, how important it is to just be there. And I, you know, 35 years in radio, I know this as well. You've kind of got to be there. You got to keep showing up. And, you know, I think somebody said one time that, you know, most of success is really just showing up, you know, and
you know, consistency, right, and it's got to align with your values and what you're doing, and it has to feel good, too. It's got to be, pretty interesting how we have to change so many things these days, too, to just be consistent and go through what we go through and then still come out on the other side and keep it going. So,
we've done
a lot of shows with, you know, ad lib and how they are, and somebody might go, oh, my God, that's horrible, and someone else might say, hey, I got something out of it, you know. So I think it's really important to – sometimes people try to have such perfection in everything, and then they don't do anything because they feel like it's not perfect enough, and they're too afraid, and it's like, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep digging in. So pretty cool. Well, we're going to today go, and I have a little bit of a frog in my mouth, so throat still from what's been going on the last few months here. I mean, in Hawaii. So anyhow, I will do my best to speak and not sound like I'm really, but anyhow.
Sound better.
But
you
I'm really good.
Sound better. You sound better.
Yeah, it's better.
Yeah.
It's definitely been improved. There's been improvement. So I'm getting better. Today we're going to talk about feng shui on the first half. Of course, it'll be real estate related since the first half of our show is real estate related. And I think you'll find it very interesting for those of you out there who aren't familiar with it. I'm sure many, many people are familiar with feng shui. There's the Eastern and Western version, and we're just going to go over an overview and make it fun. If you'd like to call in, have any tips you want us to put out, please do. Of course, a lot of our archive listeners are archive, so I think we'll have fun. And then the second half is Randy.
We've got a guy, a friend of mine here from Chico. His name is Barry Belmonte, and he's a realtor. And so
cool.
You guys may have some things to, you know, in common to talk about. But really, he's an example of a guy who, when you say, you know, serve others, think of others first, love others, this guy is, I've spent the last few weeks with him, meeting once a week, just kind of reconnecting with him, and just have grown to really appreciate and love his whole approach to life. And he's a church elder. He's a chaplain at a hospital. And,
wow.
You know, goes in, and you can imagine, as a chaplain in a hospital, he goes into some pretty heartbreaking situations with families and people who are dying, mm. and offers hope and offers words of encouragement. And he's got quite a story of how he came to faith as well. It's pretty cool. He was very successful,
oh.
wealthy, kind of didn't want anything to do with God kind of deal, and through just a whole lot of circumstances, ended up, like most of us do, realizing we can't do this thing called life on our own, and mm-hmm. reached out to God, and, you know, has just been a changed guy ever since. And so he's got a great story, and I think you'll just love his energy and his love for people, and he's an inspiration. When we talk about this second half being about inspiration, motivation, and this guy is a model of that. So I'm excited to have Barry on, and we'll look forward to that here at the bottom of the hour.
Perfect. Can't wait. It sounds awesome. And that's looking forward to it. Gosh, time goes by fast. It's already 5 minutes
yeah.
in. That's exciting stuff, because everything ties in. We can't do it without God. And, you know, it's in so many people out there, you know, God means creator as well, right? And we definitely...
Mm-hmm.
So much is going on. And, you know, it seems like we need more and more balance in our lives, and it's hard to find sometimes these days with so much being thrown at us, and the hustle and bustle of day-to-day activities. And in our Western world, it seems like people keep piling on more and more activities. Now we've got the Internet, which is wonderful because we can communicate so quickly, but sometimes people want everything even faster between the Internet and the emails and the texting and the voicemails. So balance is really the key, and connecting with our spirit. And I can't wait to hear the second half and hear what his story is. So this first half with Feng Shui brings us into this, and Feng Shui was actually around 3,500 years before the magnetic compass was made. We've got 4,000 years before B.C., before Christ. Feng Shui is definitely an interesting system, and it was a Chinese philosophical system of harmonizing the human existence with the surrounding environment. Feng Shui actually translates in English to mean wind water. It really deals with energy. It deals with the chi. It deals with good energy, positioning, and historically in China, it was widely used for buildings, for maybe cemeteries, for structures, dwellings, depending on the style used, and it was to actually, you know, place things in the proper format so that you're getting rid of the negative energy and the positive energy can flow. Very, very interesting. For our listeners out there, you can easily Google Feng Shui, and there's so many books on it. There's so many maps and tidbits you can look at to learn about it. And we were putting out today, hey, is it real? Well, you know, I think it's real. I think that it's you know, we're very much human and spiritual beings, and the placement of items and energy can really make a difference in our environment. You know how we usually feel better if we don't have the clutter and we kind of organize our life, organize our environment. Feng Shui is kind of doing that as well. And it's easy to learn how to do it. I don't know if I'm the type of person to always have my environment completely organized, because I'm such a multitask and even in the way I think, you know, but it certainly feels good when things are clean and in order, you know. So with Feng Shui, architectural, they talk about the architectural design. It's the placement of the house, so the position of the door. Usually they want the position of the door to face south. There's many ways. In all the years I've sold real estate, I was really surprised. I actually had more people in Maryland ask about Feng Shui masters than I did in Hawaii, which I would have thought that I would have more in Hawaii asking if I could put them in touch with a feng shui master when they were buying a house. But it's been around a long time, and what a feng shui master is, people can actually hire a person who's considered a master in feng shui and had, you know, much, a lot of high-level training, and they can come to the property that you want to purchase and tell you, okay, this feels good, this doesn't feel good, the energy here is bad, or the position of the house is bad. You could change these items in the house. Lots of times there's things that somebody can do that actually can fix it and move the energy around, you know, to where they can change. They can say, okay, this isn't a bad place, but you need to change this and change this. You could put mirrors in this room or water over here. Might sound, you know, a little funny to some people listening right now, but there's actually a lot of comfort in the way that they actually line it up. Have you ever tried feng shui, Randy? Just curious.
No, I haven't, and I guess, you know, I would say again, I can understand what you just said about some folks thinking it's a little weird, a little strange, and I know some of my some Christian friends might even think it's, you know, a little way off type stuff. But I honestly,
and I'm Christian.
I know. I've had people say it's demonic, and you know you should stay away from it, and all of that. And I'm one of those guys that obviously this world is physical, it's spiritual. There's all kinds of dynamics going on, and I'm a big believer in energy, and that we as humans do emit energy, and I think. I think that there is a place for that. I know I experienced it yesterday when you mentioned clutter, and then you know, fixing things and clearing things. I actually yesterday, I just kept feeling the real pressing need to clean up and declutter my office because it felt like I couldn't get done what I wanted to get done. I don't know how to explain it, but the energy, and
right.
So I'm just going to say that I literally experienced that yesterday, and it isn't a spiritual, weird, you know, feng shui
right.
master,
right.
you know, shaman, whatever.
Right.
It is moving around energy to make it more productive, and you know, I think like anything else, it can get be carried away, and people may make it a religion
yeah.
and whatnot, and it, you know, but
you
I
know,
think
I don't. No, I agree, and I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just think that in its, you know, in its place, I think there's something to be said for energy and redirecting energy. I can feel it. I'm one of those hypersensitive people, man. I can walk into a room, and I just pick up on energy. I just do, and that doesn't mean I'm some kind of, you know, whatever. I'm super power person. It's a gift. I don't know what it is, but so that exists.
Right,
I guess,
and
well.
They. So okay. I'm going to go into a couple. Exactly. I don't think it's demonic. I think that, but I do. I believe that with the feng shui, I mean, it's a placement of objects, a placement of things, and there is a, you know, it's kind of the yin and the yang, and I can, I know with meditating, for example, listening to soft music and meditating, it really helps our body. It literally, because we are such spiritual beings inside and out. Inside we're spiritual, but I mean on the outside we're human beings with the spiritual experiences, and peace is so important, and everybody wants love and peace. Some people have everything so spotless, and other people have a mess, and it kind of works, you know, messes work too. But this is about placement and good chi, and it's pretty interesting because, you know, I don't know that I believe that, no, you can't buy this house because it's facing this way or that way, you know, type of thing. But I think, but it's interesting to look into, and you can pull up quick. I mean, there's books for, I mean, nominal prices. There's a lot of free information. The five elements or forces of the, which is on the feng shui, I'm saying, is metal, earth, fire, water, and wood. And they play an important part. And though it doesn't mean so much that they're the actual substance, it's not so much the actual substances as it is the forces that are essential to human life. So, for example, the polarities, you know, and the energy, and you know, we are, like, our Earth is on an axle, and our axis is, the axis was tilted with all the storms and that big earthquake in the Indian Ocean and just different things, and the Japanese, the earthquake in Japan, and it's tilted and it's causing problems. Our Earth, we see it already with the pollution and the destruction of our Earth. Mother Nature doesn't like it. It gets us off balance. So the feng shui, I don't know that I would want to be so anal to say this must go here and this must go there, because I don't know, it would make me kind of like OCD or something. I don't know. I mean, in a sense, if you were looking at it.
Yeah.
But that's just opinions. I think it's wonderful to look at. It's wonderful to learn. And as far as something like being demonic, I think we as Christians, I can pick up really fast. I can decipher if this is, like, not good at all or not bad. You know, and I don't,
yeah.
I think that
yeah.
it's interesting. And when you look at the feng shui maps, they come in and they have, like, there's 8 to 9, there's areas, and they have an area for wealth and prosperity, fame and reputation, love and marriage, creativity and children, people and travel, career, knowledge and self-cultivation, family area, and health. The health is the center, and it's just interesting because it teaches about balance. And I find it's really interesting because we all need to find balance in no matter what we do. And, you know, they always say, God says, I'm not going to give you more than you can handle. And you're like, please, please, wait a minute. What makes you think I can handle all this already? You know, type of thing. Like, and really the worry and anxiety and things that come out with everything, and you and I, you know, we talk about it's time to heal constantly. Literally, later when you're through everything, you go, gosh, all that worry didn't do me any good, did it? Didn't help me at all. It didn't, but we do it. And I think the interesting thing that I take away with something like feng shui is kind of a calmness, a peace. Like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I just have to say on the record, I'm not going to be the person that's going to have the total spotless house in every single sec everywhere, because I always have a room that has a bunch of paperwork and I'm working on a lot of projects. And I'm sorry, I know where everything is, but don't touch my stuff, right? So that's just – no, but I mean, that's just me, and I'm comfortable with that, right? Somebody else might go, oh, my God, you know, whatever. But it's whatever you're comfortable with. But there's that sense of – that sense of peace, like when you talk to friends you've known for years and years that you know aren't going to hurt you, you know, that are consistent, and, you know, that love, and that I think what I take from the feng shui, which is very interesting to me, is it's kind of the security part and the peace of saying, hey, do this, and it's going to be calm. It doesn't mean, you know, taboo or anything like that. And it does talk about the placement and, you know, have water and have, you know, the little, you know, bells or the different things running that just are calm and soothing. You ever go into a place and have a massage done and they have the certain music going and they have the water trickling and it just makes you feel peaceful. So
yeah.
I think I would love to hear anybody that's, that wants to listen to this. We never have enough time in 30 minutes to go through anything we ever talk about, anything. I don't care what real estate subject it is. I don't care what it is. All we're able to give you guys when we're talking is tidbits and actually food for thought. We're whetting your appetite so then you dig in and go learn more about something maybe you haven't heard of, right? We don't want to go and assume, okay, everybody's heard of this, everybody knows, because not everybody does. And I think that's the part where we can start when we, you know, saying, I want the peace in this with this, and I'm going to try this, and you may really like it. And maybe other things will come out of it, and you just get in the habit of having that peaceful environment, because our homes literally need to be reflections of us. You know, you don't decorate your home for the other person that lives down the street. You decorate your home, you put the books, the art, the furnishings, whatever you want, it's for you, or things your children made or things you did, and they may have special memories. So our homes need to be a place that is our own, it's kind of our own getaway from everything, you know, our own sanctuary, right? And it's kind of neat if you can kind of set it up and say, okay, this is good. You ever, sometimes you go into a place and you're like, this just feels good. The energy just feels so awesome. you know, for me, typically, it's when you feel the breezes and things are set up a certain way, and it's it just feels awesome. Then you go into something else, and maybe it's just too chopped up, and it just feels like, oh, I got to get out of here. It's too claustrophobic or something. So that's kind of what the, you know, and I'm sure a feng shui master would be saying, oh, my gosh, she doesn't know what she's talking about. She's just talking about, but no, it really is about the good energy, the bad energy, and fixing things. I've been privy to have people hire feng shui masters and me watch them in process, and I remember a particular house I sold in Maryland. They said they could do certain things to fix something with the plumbing that was causing this and this and this. And, you know, somebody else may laugh at it, but I have to say that people were very happy in the house. They're very calm and you know, it can work. So I think it's always good to look at this. And it doesn't matter whether you're doing this in a tiny, tiny studio or you're doing it in a big house, four bedrooms, three bedrooms, you know, it doesn't matter, because what it is it's like the placement, and then there's certain areas that you do it with. I found if I look at a map, it can be confusing a little bit because you have structures cut up. You can actually take the feng shui and take it down. You can take the whole map and just use that whole map for one room and then have different areas of that room. You really have to read a little bit about this, and it doesn't take, if you Google it. But, yeah, it's pretty amazing stuff. And if nothing else, if nothing else, when you're working on doing anything like this, you're getting some peace. You're feeling some balance. You're not trying to do a taboo thing or something and trying to, you know, just correct everything overnight because you did your feng shui. But I think that it's been used for years and years and years. It was also tied in, you know, with the solar system and figuring out how to place things. I mean, this has been going on for many, many years. Disney World actually shifted the gate to the Hong Kong Disney about 12 degrees to make the placement be good, you know, and acceptable, basically. Of course, they're going to have respect for that culture, you know, if that was so prevalent to do there. But you find a lot of places and architects have actually checked into these situations and the placement and everything, because basically the compasses and stuff, you know how we use a compass for directions and where we're going, you know? Mm-hmm. They're saying that basically the ki, and chi, the energy and all, can rise and fall over time. And so people have actually been able to find better areas to build a house and not to build a house. You know, on a side note, I don't know if you've ever heard of the dowsing things, and people say don't use, I know in Christian, we say don't, we're not supposed to use the pendulums and do things like that, but mm-hmm. I've, over the years, actually had situations where people brought in the person to find the well if they couldn't find the best place for the water, not find the well, find the best place to drill for the well, and use the little rods. I mean, and it worked. So I don't know how some of this works. I'm not saying, you know, but I don't think on the feng shui, you're not really bringing in anything spiritual. You're actually placing things in a certain place and dealing with the energy that's already in the room. So that just wanted to mention to people, because, again, you have your Eastern and your Western feng shui. You're going to have, as we always say, there's not enough time. I mean, we're almost out of time right now to go into a lot of it. But I think it's, you know, if you may want to Google it and read it and see what you find out about it, because it's kind of neat, and it definitely can help you even with the placement if you're trying to decorate your home and try to just place things in a more a flowing way rather than you know, and so I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I do. I agree that at one level it is absolutely addressing, I think, a physical truth that, you know, energy, chaos, peace, you know, all kind of, you know, can be controlled to some extent by, you know, by how we order things, by how we arrange things in our lives, You know, God is a God of order. He says that, you know. He created this, you know, this amazing solar system and planet and, you know, all of that. And so I think sometimes, and I'll just, again, I just want to speak to the concerns that some people have. I think like everything in its place, you know, it's a valid thing to look at and think about. And as I said, I experienced it yesterday in decluttering my office. There's a peace, there's a flowing in there that works. Whereas when it was cluttered, it didn't. So, you know, you're right. I think it's an awesome thing to look at. I think sometimes, and I'm one of those guys, you know, again, having lived maybe, you know, in Maui, and, you know, obviously there's a lot of what, you know, some people would characterize as kind of New Age folks, and, you know, I'm not afraid. I'm secure enough, I guess, in my Christianity that I'm not afraid to look at, you know, Buddhism and some of these other religions and glean from them.
And I don't think feng shui is a religion, though. That, I just want to shine that in. It's not a religion. So I get what you're saying. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, it's not a religion. It's definitely tied to, you know, Chinese and Asian cultures, and which would be predominantly Buddhist. But
and there's a lot of Christians coming in there now. I mean, I know. I'm just saying. I just know. But yeah. I hear you. I'm not, and you know I'm Christian, and I adore God with all my heart, and I love Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm just chiming it in because I want I don't want people to think that, because I see, I mean, I know a woman that Japanese here, she born and raised, and then was in Hawaii for 30 years, sold her place, and went back. She's building Christian churches with somebody. I mean, they're her husband, and they've got a building was donated to them because they bring in people to Jesus. So it's pretty cool. But I just want to mention the feng shui is definitely, it was more of a, it was more of an architectural type of thing. So how do we place, how do we do, how do we work with, you know. Just like with the stars and the universe and things, we've had placement. We look at the pyramids and things, and how did those guys get that up there? We know somebody somewhere did something. It wasn't just what we, you know, or their technology was. No, it was so far ahead. So I think God, but I'll tell you, God loves us and wants us to have peace. So that's what I just want to mention, because I think there's a lot of things we can think in Christianity, forget it, get away from that, don't that's bad, that's bad, that's demonic, and there is, the devil's really busy, so I definitely don't, but I think the feng shui is just something to look at. It's not a religion, it's not, it's not, it really isn't, and I wouldn't want anyone to hear on the call thinking, oh my gosh, it's worth reading and seeing, and it's just, and there's some simple things to do, and it even helps with, you know, if somebody's doing interior decorating and they just want to place things and just make it flow a little bit better. It may be interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff, feng shui. Man, again, obviously, Google that. I just did that. There's all kinds of stuff on it, and you can definitely check it out. And RealtyUniversal.com, again, the website for literally your one stop, anything you really need to know about, whether you're a buyer or seller. Again, the Realty Universal program as well, that is all laid out there, so check that out. We're going to take a break. On the other side, Barry Balwani joins us, and again, our second half of the show is, if you're new to the show, we typically aim to inspire and mobilize and motivate you to be the change that you want to be in the world. And this guy Barry Balwani, a friend of mine here from Chico, California, and really, on many, many levels, involved with a lot of things, and I think he will inspire and mobilize you. So we'll take a break and be back on the other side. Realty Universal Radio, again, the number is 347-945-5428, 347-945-5428. Maybe in our conversation on feng shui, there's something you might want to chime in with. We'll take a call just before we get to Barry. If you want to, if you're listening live, again, be right back after
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you. After consulting with the experts, we set you up to win.
She knows a hollow from a double up. She does snapbacks, backsides, shoots the curl. Bethany Hamilton knows everything about surfing. She just didn't know about the shark. But just months after the attack, and with only one arm, the 13-year-old surfs again. And now she's ripping it better than ever. So next time life puts a little fear in you, just think of Bethany Hamilton hanging 10 on top of a heavy wave. That's real courage. Pass it on.
From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Let's go. Here we go.
It's real estate up there. And are you doing...
Here we go.
Okay.
And we're back. Welcome to Realty Universal Radio. We're on the air everywhere, worldwide. Randy Zachary. My name, Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, is on the line as well. And our guest this half hour, or 25 minutes or so, Barry Belmonte. He's this is where I get to sound kind of like a mobster. He's a friend of mine. He's a friend of mine from Chico, California, and he is a realtor. He's so much more. He's a hospital chaplain, church elder. I could go on and on and on. You get the idea. When we talk in the second half about serving and being other-oriented and loving others and all of that, Barry's the guy, and I've been spending weekly time with him and just really getting to know and appreciate and not only his story, but his passion for people, passion for God. And Barry, welcome, buddy. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you.
So we could go several different directions, and I think this is going to fly by. But let's kind of begin at the beginning. Or, you know, as near the beginning as we have time for. You weren't always a God guy, were you? I mean, talk a little bit about your, you know, pre-kind of coming to faith days and a little bit of how you came to faith in Christ.
Well, I came up through a rather dysfunctional family. I never had any doubts that my parents cared about me. I just really wasn't sure how that was supposed to look. And as a consequence, I often found myself caring a lot for myself. And as I grew up, I was very performance-oriented. And my view of success, as to what I thought of success was... So I was very performance-oriented, very control-driven. And I was very successful at it. I had all of those things that I sought after, I was able to achieve. And I built that as to who I was. So I felt like people would see me based on my accomplishments, and I found a lot of exaltation in that. But as I started to go through life, I started to realize that those things were kind of like vapor, that somebody else could fill that spot and nobody would know I was ever there. And I was finding that I was successful, but I wasn't significant, and I was conflicted with that. Mm. And I met somebody after having my life go through some difficulties, and one of those was that I was confronted with a relational issue in a marriage, which ended up in divorce. And that divorce just threw my whole world upside down. And because of that, I got bitter, and I was angry. And I kind of turned away from people. I didn't want to have anything to do with them. I just wanted to rest on those things I was comfortable with, which was my ability to achieve. But I found that to be very unfulfilling and lonely, and it just made me more hostile. Until a person came into my life that found was different than anybody else I'd known, and I didn't quite understand how to define that. I didn't know what the difference was. I just knew it was different. And as I started to look into it, I found that it was because this person was willing to openly share their faith with me. And as that started to happen, I got more distant, and in fact to the point that I held them at arm's length and I said, you know, you call yourself a Christian, but you'll never call me a Christian, because that's a crutch. That's only for people that can't stand on their own two feet. And I fully expected that
wow.
that person was going to walk away.
Wow.
But she didn't. And she continued to share her faith with me. And I, because of my experience in the world, I was somewhat jaded to what people do. And I thought anybody could pull off an act for a while, but I wanted to see if this was for real. And she was here in Chico, where I'm from, but her parents were in Tennessee. So without her knowing it, I got on a plane and I flew to Tennessee and I went to meet her parents. And it was when I met her parents that I walked into their home and I experienced something I'd never experienced before. And that was because Jesus Christ was at the center of everything they did. It was literally brighter inside that house than it was outside in the full sun.
Wow. Wow.
And I was overwhelmed with the reality that everything that they were was an outpouring of the relationship they had with their Lord.
Wow.
And when I got back to Chico and I saw Linda, I realized that what I was seeing in her was that same thing. It was an authentic personal relationship with a God that loves her, and it was everything she did was an outpouring of that relationship. And I found from that, I fell in love. I fell in love with my Lord, and I fell in love with my to become wife. And
that's
ever
so cool.
Since that point, it's my life has been different.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and you again were, as you said, very successful in terms of, you know, the business thing and very performance-driven. And, you know, it's so kind of cool to see you now and know you now, because I know the person who's been, you know, kind of loved by God and drawn in, and then you essentially pour that back out. And, you know, you express your love for people and God in a variety of ways. And, you know, obviously you're busy, you know, as a realtor and business owner and, you know, busy in your church. I mean, you're an elder. You're also, you know, you lead several kind of groups, men's groups and whatnot during the week. And then you've got the chaplain thing at the hospital. So, how do you balance all that? Because obviously somebody who, I think a challenge we all have, those of us who want to make a difference and want to help people, is that we can go overboard, you know, and then how do you balance that love for other people and yet quality time, you know, with Linda, with your spouse and family? Can you help us with that?
Well, yeah, and maybe you can help me with that. Because it's always a challenge. But my biggest struggle has been learning when and how to surrender to Christ. And I find that so oftentimes when I tried to manage my time, it was based on my gifts. I felt like these are things I'm good at, so those were the things I pursued. And I would block out my time based on what I knew I could accomplish, and whatever was left is what I gave to God. And I've been finding that my struggle has been to just surrender, because often my giftedness is what got in the way of my service.
Ooh.
And so now when God calls me, I try to respond to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to direct my major blocks of time.
That's wonderful. And can you tell, how do you, I'm Christian too, and when you surrender, how do you get the answer that you know that's God talking? Is it because you feel peace, or that it just feels right? How do you know that that's definitely, you feel good about that?
Yeah, that's a good question. There were times when I'd be on my way to a listing appointment or dealing with a client, and while I'm on the road on the way to that appointment, I'd get a phone call from somebody, and they would say to me, you know, Barry, I'm having an issue right now, and I need somebody to pray with. Is there any way that you can find some time to stop and see me? And I used to say, okay, I'll stop by as soon as I'm done with my appointment. But what I've started doing instead is I've had to make a decision that I call my appointment and I tell them, I'm sorry, I'm going to be about an hour late. And I go pray with that person first. Because I find that if I'm going to be successful, I have to make that change over to being significant. And if I'm going to do the things that are pleasing to God, He's going to bless my life. But if I'm just concerned about feathering my nest, then I'm taking care of me instead of His people. And
but if you have an appointment and you and, no, but if you had an appointment, is it like a life and death to pray, or couldn't the person wait till you're finished your appointment and then pray, or could you pray for 5 minutes on the spot? I'm just you know, and
how do you
because
balance it? Yeah.
Because
no,
otherwise you're gonna have, because
completely.
Because the other person deserves respect too that had the appointment, right? So I'm just wondering how you balance it.
And that, you know, that's a fair question. What I had to do though is realize that the challenge was not in whether one person or another's issues were more important. The challenge I had to face was, who's Lord of my life? And I had to, more about my facing my challenge and how I'm going to surrender to God. And as I've gotten to do this more, I've found that I need to rely more on Him, and He'll direct me in the right way. And so far, I've been blessed by it.
That's great. That's fantastic.
I can give you a somewhat of an example in that when I started to work over at the hospital to do chaplain work, they asked me why I was there to do that. And I answered them by saying, it's because I don't really want to do it. And they said, I don't understand. If you don't want to do it, then why are you here? I said, because I believe this is where I'm called to be, and it's not about what I want. It's where God wants me.
Whoa, boy, that goes to, and I mean, we could camp on that point for just a whole hour alone, because I see, and you and I have had this conversation, I'm around kind of all these motivational speakers and the John Maxwell team, and, you know, it's all about chasing your dream, my vision, my dream, my brand, my platform, me, and I just, I feel us all sliding into this slippery slope of narcissism in our society, and you just said something that smacks really against all of that. Is it's not about what we want; it's about what God wants. Woo-hoo! Ouch! That's good stuff, man. That's really good stuff.
Well, you know, every time I walk into a room at the hospital, I realize that I'm not prepared. And there are times when I walk in and I'm at a loss because I don't know what to do. I've looked at people and I've told them, I can't fix your problem. I can't solve this. I can't bring anything to the table for you. But I know that God was here before I walked in, and He wants to know you. And we spend our time introducing God into the person and their experience. And even though I feel inadequate when I walk in, I've never walked out not feeling blessed for doing it.
Mm. Yeah, when you describe
that,
I honestly think of times over the years, you know, Monica and I have coached and or counseled hundreds and hundreds of couples, and it never ceases to amaze me how going in I am so acutely aware of my inability to really have anything to offer, you know? Yes, our experience, yes, some things maybe that we've learned, but I'm just always kind of gripped by this ineptitude on my part, and literally that's a good place to be, because you literally go, okay, God, you got to show up and speak through me because I got nothing, you know? And I'm just amazed every time. You're so right. Every time God shows up, speaks through us, because we're available and we're desperate, and
he blesses the people, you know, and I've seen that happen. So I'm sure that happens with you, as you said, in your chaplain program.
Well, recently I've had some conversation with some people. We've been talking about different relational issues that are portrayed in the Bible. And one of them that we talked about was how Abraham, you know, you talk about how do you discern that that's God's voice. Abraham was able to discern it was God's voice because he spent enough time with them to recognize that was God. So you have to spend time with God first. But his desire to be obedient to God's call in his life is only part of it. Here is his son, Isaac, who was a grown man in his 20s, who very easily could have said, sorry, Dad, I'm not going that way. But Isaac was obedient to his father, knowing full well that he was going someplace without knowing the outcome, but trusting in his father. So God blessed those relationships because of their obedience. And I'm finding, at least for me, it's not trying to decide on my terms what I should do, but being obedient when God calls me to respond to his call, putting him first for a change.
Wow.
That's great. Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Barry Belmonte with us again. And oh, by the way, usually we have guests on who've, you know, written a book or they're promoting this or that. Barry, this is going to be refreshing because Barry's not really pushing a book or anything. He's just an amazing dude that, you know, that I met and, as you can already see, has a lot to offer people in the arena of getting to know God. And you've said a couple things already that have just, and I'd love to circle back because I didn't write it down, and I don't know if you remember this, but you said you found that your gifts were getting in the way of your service, did you say?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Can you kind of expound on that a little bit? I mean, I think we all kind of think, well, wait a minute, God's given us these gifts, we should use them. How do our gifts get in the way of our service?
I think sometimes we end up allowing our gifts to own us. And we think that is the defining factor of who we are. We find out our identity in what we're capable of, what we can do, what our accomplishments are, or what allows us to achieve those accomplishments. And yet our true identity is who we are in Christ. And unless we allow God to be the one that orchestrates how all that works, we're playing our own tune instead of playing his tune. You know, if you can play a guitar, that's great. But if all you want to do is play the music that's soothing to your ear, you're not really pleasing God. And so it's your gifts often are the first things that you run to, where in fact maybe God wants you to do something you absolutely have no knowledge of, but that you'll be blessed through it, and it blesses another with your obedience.
Wow.
Do you think sometimes that God gives us certain gifts to have a mission, to definitely to bring people to Jesus and also to be there for God, and that sometimes our gifts, if used in the right way, can really accomplish that through our secular business, actually?
Absolutely. In fact, there's a lot of evidence of that, but the problem is that we're fallen. We're deprived. We're depraved. We don't know how to put healthy boundaries on that. We seem to take the gift, and we think that it's us, not the gift. And so many people that are able to accomplish great things because of their giftedness think that it's because of themselves that it's happening,
right. Instead
of attributing it to God. And they fall into a place where they are becoming God instead of letting God be the one that gets the honor for it.
Right.
Wow. Wow, Barry Belmonte with us. That is so true. We for whatever reason, we end up worshiping the creation, not the creator, on so many levels. Whether it's, you know, our gift. I think that goes to so many things. I mean, our kind of celebrity, you know, culture, where we kind of worship celebrities, cult of personality. It just seems like over and over we, as you said, we take that gifting or that cool thing, and for some reason we just need to kind of share the spotlight. I don't know what that is about our human nature, but, you know, whenever we're used, for instance, by God, I know there's that What is it? That story where Peter was sitting with Jesus, and Jesus goes, well, you know, who are they saying I am, you know? And, well, some say you're this, some say you're that. And Jesus goes, hey, Peter, who do you say that I am? Why, you're, you know, the Son of God. You're, you know, this Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And, you know, and Jesus says, you know, blessed are you, Simon, blah, 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 you know, and all that. So he just blesses Peter. And then a few minutes later, what, Peter talking about the cross, and Peter goes, hey, you, by the way, you can't go to the cross, Jesus. And he says, get thee behind me. I mean, I always use that, think of that example of how quick we go from riches, if you will, to rags, you know, in the spiritual world, right? We're used of God, and we are so excited about it, but somehow something happens, and all of a sudden we are convinced that it was us, and then we start telling God what to do, which is what Peter tried to do, right? I mean, that's what we do.
It's incredible. It's tough. I don't know. I always say it's God, not me, when people ask, how did you do that? And I always say, it's God, not me. But it's funny, in real estate, we're in the real estate industry, people assume when they see you have tons of business and they have all this stuff going on and everything, they assume, oh, you're just this way, until they work with you and then find that's not what you're, you know, about. So it's really tough. It's very tough, I think, because so many people assume things when it's really not, they're not just living in the world for themselves. You know, I think that there's a lot of people doing a lot of things and they don't tell people or take the glory. You know, you anonymously do things to help and don't take the glory. So it's, but I always have the answer, it's God, not me, and then you get different looks. It's just, it's tough. I mean, the world isn't an easy place to do, it's not an easy place always to do what you're doing, you know, what you want to do, and honoring God, and we just do it, and it has to fall where it falls, I think, because people have their own opinions, you know.
Well, the work that we do should be a way to worship God.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And how that looks for each person is different. You talk about real estate, and I had a couple I was working with that all they seemed to want to do was argue, and it was to the point of embarrassment, and I told them, I'm going to come to your house instead of you coming to my office, in order to avoid them being embarrassed by their
circumstance.
And at their house, they're arguing, and the husband says, I want to get a tape recorder so that she could hear herself. And I said, excuse me, this may be out of character, but do you have a Bible in the house? And they said, yes. And I said, I assume then that you're both believers. Is that correct? And they said, yes. I said, do you either of you have any idea of what a Christian marriage is supposed to look like?
Mm.
And they looked at me dumbfounded. And I said, I know I'm here as your realtor, but before we can talk business, you guys have to get this straight, and I'm not going to talk to you about real estate until you've got your marriage on track.
Mm.
And we spent the next month meeting, going over what Christian marriage should be.
Wow.
Ultimately, they ended up closing a deal, buying a house, and after a couple months, I went back to follow up and see how they were doing, and the wife comes running outside to greet me. And she puts her arms around me, and she goes, it's my realtor from God.
That's awesome.
I said, excuse me? She goes, yes, you don't understand. We didn't just end up with a new home. We have a new relationship. God is in our home. Our children have friends coming over. They're doing better in school. Our whole life has changed because of that time you took with us to focus on God.
That's fantastic.
And I think that's how God wants to use each one of us. Wherever we are and whatever we're doing, it's a form of worship. And it's allowing him to direct and control how we respond within that environment. And for me, I seek that. There was a time in my life when I didn't. But at this point in my life, I've made it a point that I pray for, I want to be desperate for God, and he seems to be answering that call in my life.
Very cool. Wow. We've got just a couple more minutes. Looks like about three to four minutes, Barry. And so we talked about you coming to faith, and again, people have gotten a real sense of, you know, that you unashamedly, you know, put Christ first, and, you know, and you just described what Natalie and I have referred to before as, you know, is soul selling, which is, yes, you're selling, yes, you're in the real estate business, but you're doing it from a place of service, from a place of loving, a place of adding value to others, and looking for opportunity to speak into lives. And I know, Natalie, you've been in situations we've talked about where you've had to play, you know, counselor and mediator.
Sure.
Sometimes, and you just get put in the middle of people's lives, don't you? Because this is a big
mm-hmm.
decision, and they're sharing everything with you guys, and it's just naturally you become kind of a life coach or counselor, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. And God's at the forefront of it. It's just, it's a difficult, you know, sometimes, I mean, just like Moses, I mean, and being out, they're out 40 years and things could have been done quicker. I think as humans, we're not always, we don't know, even as much as we love God and know that we're to serve God, we don't always know which is the route God wants us to take 100% or which route to help people, you know. We know we can do one at a time, we can daily do it, but I find that can be a challenge at times, you know, and you just pray and say, show me the way, and go from there, you know.
Mm. Yeah, I love what you said, Barry, about, you know, we can know, you know, increasingly be know God's voice, you know, when we spend time with him. And I'm guilty, you know, guilty as charged. I mean, I get busy, and that's why I've developed this thing where I walk, you know, in the mornings, and it's literally prayer walking. I don't use the earbud with the music. I used to do that, but
awesome.
I use this time to now just say, okay, Lord, you got me for an hour this morning before I do anything else. You know, I'm going to just quiet my mind. I just want to learn to hear you. And, you know, that's been a blessing. And, Barry, are there any other suggestions or tips you might have in that regard for getting to know God's voice? Obviously, spend time with him. How do you do that on a busy day? I mean, is it one time in the morning, or do you take time outs kind of in between? Do you pray as you go always? What are some thoughts on that?
You know, every day is different, and I think each one of us has to find that thing that works for us. And for me, I've got a unique situation. I fell in love with my wife and with Jesus at the same time. I cannot look at her without seeing him and knowing that it's because of him that she's in my life and vice versa. And so I get this remembrance, I get this grounding that helps me see him and know his presence and start to seek him earnestly, because I have that to come back to each day. And that's what I needed in my life. That's how God reached me. And I think he's going to reach each one of us in a way that's unique to who we are. But we have to be able to identify that, and we have to seek it out in earnest, because he desperately wants to know us. He loves us beyond what we could imagine. He doesn't want it just for us. He's there for us all the time. And
absolutely,
we need to give him that. We tell people, how do you spell love? And we say T-I-M-E. And we understand that when we talk about our kids and when we talk about other people, but we don't apply it to our lives when we talk about God.
Well, good stuff, buddy. We are out of time. I want to thank you. I always walk away from time spent with you like I'm uplifted, and I've learned something and inspired again to put Christ, you know, foremost in everything I do. And you know, to hear that from you, who's, you know, very, very busy, and how you do that, it's an inspiration. And I think, you know, we've learned some great things today. And you know, again, you don't have a book. We're not promoting any websites. I mean, this is not normally. This is where we go, how can people get a hold of you?
We just God, and that's the best thing to be promoting.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, man. God bless you, man. And we will. I will see you soon here in Chico. Thanks for being with us.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on.
So
such a pleasure. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Buddy.
To everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.